It was another tough year for movie theaters as they struggled to attract filmgoers driven away by the pandemic. But whether you dared a theater or stayed at home to watch via streaming, there were a bunch of good movies that came out this year. So joining us to talk about a few of her favorites is Aisha Harris, co-host of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour. Aisha, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What kind of year was this for movies?
This year was a really good year for movies, at least in terms of quality. You know, Sundance Film Festival is usually sort of the first big festival to kick off the year. And while it was all online this year because of obviously the pandemic, I think that there were a lot of really strong movies that came out of that. One of my favorites was Summer of Soul that came out of Sundance. And other movies like Coda and Censor were really great. So I think it's been an interesting year for movies, but in terms of theater going, that might be a whole other story.
Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at a few of the films on your list, and let's start with a couple that are in theaters right now that people can go see them if they so dare. That includes one from Oscar-winning filmmaker Guillermo del Toro. His new film is called Nightmare Alley, and it stars Bradley Cooper as a 1940s grifter who teams up with a psychiatrist played by Cate Blanchett. So an incredible cast. Let's take a listen to a snippet of a scene where he's checking out her office.
Microphones.
That's right. Wire recorder.
Are you recording this?
No. My office is wired to record all analysis sessions.
You got a smoother line, but you run a racket. Same as me.
Is that what this is?
So why this one? What do you like about it?
Well, I'm a big noir fan, and so this is based off of a 1947 noir movie of the same name, as well as the book that inspired that movie. And I love seeing noir especially reflected in today's world. And while it's set in the past, I think Guillermo del Toro, he's always a fascinating director to watch, even when I don't necessarily love his movies. I think he has a real knack for horror and this sort of seedy, gory nature of things. And so especially the first like 30-ish minutes of this movie or so are set in the carnival world, and to see Bradley Cooper's character and all of these other, you know, carnies in this world, it's very much like you can feel it. Guillermo del Toro is really good at evoking that sort of weirdness, that oddity, and the creepiness of that world. And so it really worked for me overall. And I think also Cate Blanchett is just fantastic. She comes a little bit later into the movie, but she is definitely playing a femme fatale and is doing the most in like the best way possible.
It is a very stylish movie. The clips that I've seen so far, it is stylish. Like,
yes,
it's fun to look at. Bradley Cooper, by the way, is also in the next film pick we're going to talk about, which is called Licorice Pizza. That was written and directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, and there's a lot of buzz generating right now, both for Anderson and the entire cast. Cooper Hoffman stars. That's the son of the late Oscar-winning actor Philip Seymour Hoffman. And then there's Alana Haim, who's best known as a musician in the band Haim with her sisters. So yeah. What do you think about this one?
I really loved this movie, and, you know, I've seen people referring to it as a coming-of-age story, but I don't really think it feels even shaggier than that. There are definitely arcs and moments, but it is very much like a movie that for me is all about the mood more so than it is a, like, real coming-of-age story. I have some caveats that I see people have been mentioning. There's a couple scenes that involve some very racist stereotypes about Asian people, and I don't think the movie is exactly handling it in the best way possible. It's just kind of like a, why is this here? But aside from that, I think it's just a really great mood piece, and I think the performances from everyone in the cast are really, really strong and striking.
So what would you use to describe it? Is it warm? Is it funny? Like, what's the character of this movie?
It's definitely funny, and it has warm moments. It's set, you know, in the 1970s in San Fernando Valley in California. And so it definitely has that sort of nostalgic feel to it, but without being too overly sentimental. I think it's really just like an interesting look at these two characters, these two young characters, and this, you know, their friendship that hinges on, or that like teeters close to romance but isn't quite that. And I just think overall it's like, it's warm, it's funny, it's also just you gotta seep into it, you gotta just like sit through it and really let it wash over you.
And let's hope that not all of the characters talk like this, like, oh my God. having grown up not far from the valley. Yeah. You also picked a film that came out earlier this year. It's called Shiva Baby, written and directed by Emma Seligman, and stars Rachel Sennett as Danielle, an almost dangerously close to graduation college student who is attending a family Shiva and almost immediately gets cornered by her mom. Her mom's played by Polly Draper. So let's take a listen.
Yeah.
Oh, Mom, I can't eat that.
Why not?
I'm vegetarian.
You're killing me.
I've told you it so many times.
You have not eaten a single thing all day.
That's because we just got here.
You look like Gwyneth Paltrow on food stamps.
Oh, my God.
And not in a good way.
So, you know what, Anna? So it goes down from there. Tell me a little about this movie.
I really loved this movie. So this movie is about a young woman, like you said, who is like on the cusp of graduating. She doesn't really know what she's going to do with her life. And she just so happens to have both a sugar daddy and a ex sort of friend slash occasional lover. And the sugar daddy is played by Danny DeFerrari. And the ex friend slash lover is Molly Gordon, played by Molly Gordon. And they both wind up at the Shiva. And so neither of them know about each other. And it's just this like about 90 minutes, a little bit less than 90 minutes of almost all of it takes place in real time, being at this party. And a lot of people will probably be familiar with this feeling of being ready to graduate, having to be around your family friends and around your family and having them all ask you what you're doing or what you're going to do with your life and not knowing. And it's a comedy, but it's also very much a horror movie in many ways too. Like it's like all the small talk that happens at parties that everyone dreads is what is happening here. And it does a really good job of tapping into those things in a funny and terrifying way.
Yeah, there's a lot of awkwardness is the sense that I get.
Yes.
Also on your list is Zola. That was directed and co-written by Janixa Bravo. It's a film that came out in June, and it was supposedly based on a viral Twitter thread. Is that right?
Yeah, it was. It's probably one of the first major Hollywood movies to be based off of a Twitter thread. And it does a really great job of taking that sort of the language of social media. There's a lot of moments where you hear dings. There's a lot of texting. There's a lot of words coming up on the screen. And also just like you'll often hear the whoosh sound like when you send a tweet. Those are all deliberate there. They really bring to life the language of this Twitter thread while also making such a visually stunning movie. And it's got great performances from Taylor Page and Riley Keough, who are playing these women who just met, who one of them is black and one of them is white. They've just met and they are going to go take a road trip to do some dancing at a strip club. And they go to Florida. And anytime you're going to Florida in movies, there's always going to be something going wrong. And this is another movie that's like part comedy and then part horror movie in the best way possible.
There's also one more you wanted to talk about, which is a Japanese film with subtitles, which can sometimes be difficult to sell to a broader audience. But it's called Drive My Car and written and directed by Ryusuke Hamaguchi. What makes this one worth seeing and why do you like it?
Well, I'll be the first one to say that most movies today are too long. And I'll caveat this, but this movie is 3 hours long. But But it didn't feel like 3 hours. It's very much, it's a slow burn. It's an absorption. There's like a 40-minute or so preamble that really sets up the mood of this movie. And it's about this man, this actor who suffers a great tragedy and then goes to take up a residency and direct an experimental version of Uncle Vanya. And he's assigned to this driver, and that's where the Drive My Car comes in. So this driver for his daily commute. And they both get to know each other and we learn about the things that they are dealing with. And to me, like, it has this central question of like how we define love and what that means. And I think it does such a beautiful job of like weaving in all of these elements from both Chekhov and other themes that you might be familiar with in films. And the performances are great, and it's worth the 3 hour drive that it takes to go through this whole movie, I promise.
Wow, it's only my respect for you that would make me believe that. We have the full list of your top 10 available on the website so people can check out your other picks there. But can we look ahead to next year and see what you're anticipating?
Oh, man, I'm still catching up on so many things for this year. But I will have to say that the two things that I'm most excited for are the new Jordan Peele movie, Nope, which is starring Daniel Kaluuya and Kiki Palmer. I don't think we really know anything about it, but it's Jordan Peele and it's that cast. So yes to Nope. And then I'm also excited for the new Pixar movie, Turning Red, which the trailer's already dropped for the first trailer, but it's about a young girl who turns into a giant red panda whenever she gets like really out of control in terms of her emotions. So it looks like it could be another like really interesting, fun Pixar movie. So those are the two I'm like most looking forward to so far.
We have been talking with NPR's Aisha Harris about some of her favorites of the past year's movies and a couple she's looking forward to. Again, you can see Aisha's entire list by going to hereandnow.org. Aisha, thanks so much.
Thank you. I'm talking.
And this is music from another of Aisha's favorites, Sly and the Family Stone, performing Sing a Simple Song from Summer of Soul.